standing, please, as we sing this morning. You know, worship is really a 24/7 thing. It's not something we're supposed to turn off or turn on. It flows. It's a way of life for us. But today, as we sing this song, I want us to be more intentional, focusing on the fact that we're just not individuals coming together, but that we are a body and that we're linked to everyone. And the blood of Jesus flows through us as we sing and worship corporate level today. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. 'Cause here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Yes, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Be seated, please. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me, and he will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. God will make a way. Yes, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me, and he will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. God will make a way. You know, Adam and Eve weren't the only ones that needed God's deliverance, God's help. And you can see, I mean, there's a whole book about the fact that people need deliverance from the mess that we've made. And that even carries on to us each and every day. And I really like this song. Yeah, it's kind of Christmassy, but Emmanuel means God with us. And He was, and He is. And we carry that every day when we go. And that deliverance carries through, and that's part of what David's lesson is for us today. And so, O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations bind, all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. I have on the slides the names of the lessons I'm doing for this series of lessons on Journey to Christmas. Each week we take some characters and we talk about their journey to what we call the Christmas story oftentimes. Last week we talked a little bit about the journey of Christ starting back in the very beginning, that He was the Word, the Logos, the Word of God coming into the world. This morning we're going to look at Mary, but we're also going to include in that, I draw your attention to the angels' involvement in it. We won't say much about it, but pay attention to it because it's going to come back for the next lessons that we're doing. Then after that, we're going to look at the shepherds next week. And then finally, we're going to look at the wise men and their journey after Christmas. So, invite people to be a part of it. I think it's maybe a different way of looking at the Christmas story and looking at each of those characters' journey. Today I want us to focus in on Mary, not just from the standpoint of being the mother of Jesus, but we're going to look at some other meanings that that has symbolically as well, even going to the book of Revelation at the end of the lesson. This morning primarily I'll be in the book of Luke, if you want to start there. And then we'll also be in Matthew chapter 1. Those are the primary places we'll be today. Let's start with a prayer. Would you bow with me? Great God and Father of all, we thank You for this opportunity to be together. We thank You for the opportunity to follow the stories of what we often refer to as Christmas, the birth of Jesus. We know that there's a lot more to the fact of our Lord coming into this world and taking on flesh and dying for us and being raised again, becoming our Lord and King. There's a lot more to that in our individual lives that maybe we don't take as seriously as we should. Help us, Father, this morning as we approach this season to look at it from the perspective of how we might live out this journey, that we might live out the gospel message so that others might hear it as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look in Luke. Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 26. And the thing I want you to see in this story that often is not emphasized is how it all the gospel accounts point to the fulfillment of prophecy. That part of the testimony of the gospel is proving that Jesus, from his birth all the way through his resurrection, was fulfillment of prophecy. So look for that as we go through this story. Beginning in verse 26, Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. I think it's important to emphasize these areas where there is a fulfillment of prophecy. There's obviously the fulfillment of prophecy about Mary being a virgin, and we'll talk a little bit more about that from Isaiah chapter 7. But notice this passage, which is showing the fulfillment that's spoken of in chapter 1 in verses 31 and 32, where Mary is said, are told by the angel, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." In this, we see the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." When the angel told Mary that the child she was going to give birth to would reign on David's throne forever, it is a fulfillment of this passage in Isaiah chapter 9, which really goes back to a previous prophecy that was given to David. When David wanted to build God's house, a temple for God, God said, "You're not the one that's going to build that house. Your son, Solomon, will build that house. But I'm going to build you a house, David." So notice this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 through 12. "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. And your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your house will be established forever." Now, this prophecy is not true from the standpoint of physically one of David's descendants is sitting on a throne in Jerusalem right now. But it is true in the standpoint that the baby that Mary would give birth to would establish his kingdom, which is as a descendant of David, would be sitting on David's throne, and his kingdom would last forever. It would be an eternal kingdom, which is a prophecy that was given in Daniel chapter 2. If you remember Daniel's prophecy, it's given because Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in the dream, he saw this great statue. And the statue had a head of gold, and each part of the body was a different metal, all the way down to clay mixed with iron in the legs and the feet. And this small stone, which came from a mountain without human hands, it was cast upon the statue, and it destroyed the statue, and it crumbled to pieces. And from that small stone rose this mighty mountain that rose up. And Nebuchadnezzar couldn't find anyone to interpret the dream for him. And Daniel came and interpreted the dream, and he said, "You, O king, are the head of gold. And all the parts of the statue succeeding that are kingdoms that will come after you. But there is a kingdom that comes from God that will start during the time of these kings," talking about the kings that are at the feet of that statue, which if you take the succession of the kingdoms after Babylonian Empire, it would be Rome. During the days of Rome, this kingdom would be established, and it would last forever. And so this is a fulfillment of the prophecy. Mary is being told the passages in the Old Testament that deals with someone coming from David's line and sitting on his throne and establishing a kingdom that will last forever is about to be fulfilled by the baby you're about to give birth to. And that's significant. And when we tell the story of the birth of Jesus, we tell that beautiful story of Mary having this child, we need to remember that what's being told in the gospel writers about this is a fulfillment of everything that the Old Testament scriptures were leading up to, and we need to listen to it. And although it's not talking about the birth of Jesus, but this is talking about his resurrection and his going back to the Father, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, again, notice the importance of the reign of Jesus. And this is what Mary was being told. Your son will reign over the people of God. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days," talking about God the Father, "and was led into his presence. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. And all nations and people of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Mary was being told that by the angel. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. It begins with you in giving birth to this child. Now, as you go to Matthew chapter 1, you hear what's going on with Joseph. And in what we just read, remember, it ended the reading with her leaving from Nazareth, where she was with Joseph. She leaves and she goes to the hill country of Judea. Part of that may have been to get away while she's pregnant, not knowing exactly how people are going to react to this, maybe not even sure how Joseph is going to react to this. And we pick up the story there in Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 following. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her father, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And then it quotes Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Again, notice in this story, and it's such a beautiful story of the heart of Joseph, understanding what the law said about an unfaithful woman. And yet he did not want to cause any embarrassment or shame or risk Mary's life. So he was going to divorce her quietly. He was going to not marry her. He was going to separate that oath, that vow of taking her as his wife. And yet he was told by an angel that this is what's happening. This is God's plan. This is God's doing. And it's emphasized with the fulfillment of prophecy from Isaiah 7:14, that a virgin would give birth to a son, and he would be known as Emmanuel, God with us. In other words, God coming in the flesh and dwelling among us. So again, in this story, fulfillment of prophecy is a big part of the story. Now, if you go back to Luke chapter 1, and we'll continue Mary's story from there, picking up at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Now remember, she is carrying the baby John the Baptist. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." Then Mary breaks out in praise. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. And he has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised to our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Again, I want you to notice the emphasis on the fulfillment of prophecy. Notice Mary, even in her praise to God, praises God for remembering his promise to Abraham. And specifically, although there are many promises given to Abraham over and over in the story of Abraham, it seems that it directly connects to the promise that is given in Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis 22, remember, it's the story of where God commanded Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. This is a test of his faith, because Abraham had been promised, Abraham and Sarah, his wife, had been promised a child way beyond the time in their life when they could naturally have a child. And so they were promised over and over, God is going to give you a son, and it'll come from you yourself. You will have this son, and he will be a blessing to all nations of the earth. And so finally, after all all the possibilities of having a son in different ways was explored. God, through Abraham and Sarah, had Sarah have a child, and his name was Isaac. But then God said, take your son and offer him as a sacrifice. And God was testing his faith, and Abraham believed in God. He believed in God so much that God would keep his promise, that he believed even if he killed his son by offering him as a sacrifice, God would raise him from the dead and still keep his promise to bless all nations through his son Isaac. So he took his son, and he was ready to kill him. And God stopped him and said, I know by your willingness to offer your son that you truly believe. You have been obedient to my commands, and this son will bless all nations. And it was through the seed of Abraham, through the descendants of Abraham, that went all the way down through the descendants of David, that Jesus was born. And so Mary, in acknowledging what was going to happen to her, she acknowledged to God, God, you are keeping your promise to Abraham. The prophecy you made to Abraham, you're keeping through the child that I'll give birth to. I think this is such an amazing thing that over and over and over in the story, we hear about how God has kept his promise. And then we read in Luke chapter 2, just the next chapter over, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken in the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went out their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, a town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Mary's journey goes all the way from being probably a teenage girl that's told that she is going to give birth to the Savior of the world, to a place in a stable where she gave birth to him. Now, that story does not end there, and we're going to talk more about that story as we go on in our series. But I want to show you a place that it occurs again that you may not recognize immediately. If you'll go in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12, I want you to see that this story is repeated. And the Holy Spirit uses this story to reveal the future of the church. And it shows the cycle of the history of what God is doing to redeem his people. So if you will, look with me in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns with 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, and he is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she was taken care of for a time and times and half time out of the serpent's reach. And then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torment. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who kept God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus." Now, you may hear that, read that, and you may say, "What? How does that relate to the story of the birth of Jesus?" The figure of Mary that's depicted in here, the woman who has the sun and the moon around her, is really speaking of those who carry Jesus. And this includes the people of the Old Testament and the people of the New Testament who are God's people. She even wears a crown of 12 stars, which represents God's people, both in the Old Testament and New, the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles. And Mary did not only give birth to Jesus, but Mary was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament of bringing Jesus into the world. Remember, we're told in this that this woman goes back to the very creation because the sun and the moon are around her. And in the creation of woman, Eve was tempted by Satan to eat of the forbidden fruit, remember? And she shared that with her husband, and her husband partook in her sin, and they were separated from God because of their sin. As God dealt with that sin with the man and with the woman, and he came to the serpent, and he told the serpent what his future would be, he told the serpent that there will now be war between you and the woman. But from her seed will come one that will defeat you. You will bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head. And God was making a prophecy there that one day the serpent, the dragon, the evil one, the devil, Satan, will be completely defeated someday. But there is much warfare to go on between God through the people of God and eventually through the birth of Jesus. And Mary has this child. And Satan does everything he can to keep this Savior from being born. Part of the story that we miss is the warfare that's going on in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm, because of Satan determined to keep this Savior from being born and coming into the world. And he thinks if he can stop that, he'll keep it from happening. And you'll remember in the story that not only that, but Herod gets involved in killing the babies, you know, the baby boys from 2 years and down, because he wants to stop this child from being king. What he doesn't realize is he's being used by Satan to try to keep the Savior from doing his work that God sent him into the world to do. And this chapter tells the story not only of the birth of Jesus by Mary, but tells the story of the battle that Satan is waging against the descendants of those who are the people of God. and those who would be the followers of this man-child born to Mary, the church. And it is through the church that the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, spreads throughout the world. And it is not without opposition. If you read the whole of the book of Revelation, you find that he does it in several ways. He tries to wage warfare between different nations so that it'll wipe out the church. He tries to impact the economy of the world and wipe out the church through that. He tries to spread diseases throughout the world so that the church dies out through that. He tries to do things that are of catastrophe and tragedy in the world, like great earthquakes and fires and so forth. But he cannot wipe out the church, because you see, the church, which is the descendant from Mary, because she gave birth to the child who is Jesus, and all of his followers are the church, you cannot wipe out the church. With all that Satan tries to do, you cannot wipe out the church, because the church is God's people called to spread the message, or to put it another way, to bear the child Jesus into the world. We have an opportunity as the church, no matter what kind of persecution we face, no matter what kind of hardship we face, no matter what kind of diseases, what kind of disasters, what kind of tragedies, what kind of warfares, what kind of government, no matter what we face, you cannot kill the church. We may be wounded, but you cannot kill us. We are the fulfillment of prophecy. Mary didn't know all that. There's no way she could know all that. All she knew is she was pregnant, and she was going to bear a child that's the Son of God. What in the world that means, we have no idea. You've heard the song. I'm sure you've heard it several times. I'm about to play it again. Mary, did you know? We're going to play this song because we want you to hear again this message of faith. Mary didn't understand it all, and we don't understand it all. But she was a faithful servant. She was going to do God's will. And that's what we're called to do. Just do God's will. Face what we have to face, and let's do what we need to do. Mary didn't know what all this included. And I'm afraid we don't really understand what all is included when we take the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning. Do you realize that every Sunday morning when you take that little bit of bread and that little bit of juice, you're renewing your fight against Satan? By remembering the body and the blood of Jesus, you are doing exactly what Satan wants you to not do. He wants you to forget what it means. He wants you to make it insignificant. He wants to make it a ritual that you just go through every Sunday morning. He wants you to forget how important this is. When we take this and we remember what it means, we declare war on Satan again. This is important. We're going to play this clip as we listen to the song, Mary, Did You Know? And then I'll come back and I'll ask for God's blessing as we take the bread. May we remember what it really means as we take it. And then we're going to sing another song, Come Share the Lord, which reminds us not only that we're taking the Lord's Supper now, but we're longing for the day when we will take it with the Lord eternally, with Him face to face. And then we'll come back and we'll take the cup then. So listen and remember what it means.
Mary, my betrothed, you have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen, and the sweetest smile.
Don't be afraid.
I'm the Lord's servant.
Help us! Please!
Lady,
I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
His name is Jesus.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
Mary,
and
he's
this
here.
Child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, do you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man?
Peter, where's my son?
Do you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Didn't you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
My son.
Mary, did you know? Ooh. Ooh. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again.
Come out of him.
The lame will leave, the dumb will speak, the praise is
who are you?
Mary, did you know?
Tell me who you are.
That your baby boy is Lord of
Jesus.
All creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great
Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to be flesh. And we remember that as we take this bread, that you sent him into this world to be born a baby, to live his life perfectly, to go to the cross and die for our sins and for his body, to be put in a tomb, awaiting to be raised from the dead. We believe in the truth of that. And Jesus, we believe that you really are God's Son in flesh. We believe that. We believe that as we take this, we declare to the world and to Satan himself that we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And we take this bread in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you bow with me, please? Father, as we consider the blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed for our sins, the blood that reconciled us and redeemed us to you, we think about the blood that generations of believers have shed also because they refused to deny you. They refused to recant. They would not take back that gospel message that Jesus did come in the flesh and he died on the cross and shed his blood for our sins and he has risen from the grave. They stood boldly and were willing to shed their blood. And may we, Lord Jesus, may we be willing to shed our blood as well. May we have the faith to not only drink of this cup which represents your blood, but may we be willing to stand against Satan and against his angels and his demons and say, I believe. I believe in what his blood did for me. I believe that Mary brought that child into this world with one purpose. That's to reconcile people to God. And we're in that group. We're his church. And we stand boldly for that. May we never forget what this means. May we take it to heart as we drink from it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank everyone for being here this morning. I know some of you had to deal with some rain to get here. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We're thankful for the blessings of the rain. We hope that all have been encouraged and uplifted by being here today. Your presence here has been a strength to everyone. So thank you again for being here. If you are visiting with us today, thank you for choosing us and pray that you come back again next chance you get. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you for this time that you've given us to come here to worship together. We know, Father, that each of us may be different, but we're all unified in our praise for you and by the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful for your amazing grace, Father, a grace that you've told us is sufficient. We know without your mercy, without your grace, Father, we have no hope. We pray that we would share your mercy and grace with others as you have done for us. Father, we know you're in control. We trust you to bless us with all the things we need. Father, we pray that you be those of a number who are sick, those who are having difficulties, and that we would remember those on a prayer list. We ask that you would search our hearts, that you would know the concerns that we have for our loved ones, our family, and other people. We know, Father, that you love us and you care for us in a way that we really cannot understand. Father, we pray that you be with those on the front line in the battle against COVID, the doctors, the nurses, and the caregivers, that you would protect them, Father, and give them strength to carry on. Even though they become very tired and weary, just give them strength to go forward. Father, thank you for the vaccine that's been developed. We pray it will soon be available. And it will be safe for those who wish to take that vaccine. Father, forgive us when we fall short. We ask you to heal our hurts from the past, our hurts from the present. We ask that you forgive those who have sinned against us as we forgive them, Father. Father, we pray for unity. We pray for healing for your church. Father, as we leave here this morning, we pray that we would live a life that would glorify and honor you, and our lives would point to you in everything that we do. We pray that you help us remember that our worship is not just something we do on Sunday, but it sets the tone for what we do every day in our life. Father, thank you for being the God of wisdom. We pray that you would lead us on toward the future. Father, guide those who seek you, and pray that you would strengthen us as we go through this life and protect us from the evil one. In all things, Father, your will be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That was a video from our work in Zimbabwe. So you can see the joy that simple things like food and oil can do. And so that's just a great way for us to see and to say thank you for who you guys are, the ways that we can reach out not only to our own community but across the world. We do have great opportunity this week to do some of that with the Community Christmas Center on Wednesday. So definitely always be looking for those ways that we can share the joy and the love that comes from God. Also, don't forget tonight, adult class in here at 5 p.m., family Bible class across the street in the Family Center at 5 also. And then our youth group will be meeting at the Tri-C from 4:30 to 6:30 for their Christmas celebration. Go out into the world this week and be a light so that those in this community can see who Christ is and know his love and joy as well. We'll have a song playing as we dismiss.